chapter number 5 and verse number 3. Last week I began a message called The Order of Each Week. The Order of Each Week. I never finished the message. I tried to put it on the back of your bulletin, and I'm not going to go over it. So read the back of your bulletin to get the rest. I only got the one of the 3 points last week. The order of every week, and it was just the story of Genesis 1, how God made the earth, and it was without form and void. In other words, it was a mess. It was void, it was empty, it was dark. And then the Holy Ghost began to move. And by verse 2, God starts putting it into order. And I would say the thing has worked out pretty well since then, amen? Since God put it in order. And in 7 steps, he put creation in order, and it's done quite well, thank you. God is a God whose nature it is to take things that are void and empty and in darkness and step by step by step put them in order. God is a God of order. And so he has ordered our life into units called weeks that last 7 days each. And he wants us to start the first day of the week giving that day to the Lord. It's the Lord's Day, Sunday. And if you give Sunday to the Lord and really, really mean it, make it the Lord's Day, not sports day, not entertainment day, but make it the Lord's Day, oftentimes the rest of your week will fall in order. Now today, I want to speak on this subject, the order of every day. Last week, the order of every week. This week, the order of every day. Now look at Psalm 5 and verse 3, if you will. It says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." I want to talk about the order of every day. God also gives us little increments of life called days. They're 24 hours long. A lot can happen in a day. Solomon once said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." But the Bible tells us here, the writer here, David says about his own testimony, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up." I believe your life will take on more order if the first thing you will do every day in your life is pray to God. See, something happens when we pray. Solomon said this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Psalm 3, verse 5. That verse alone is hard enough to live by. Because we like to trust in ourselves. We like to trust in our health and our money and our economy and so on. But it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." But the next verse says this, Proverbs 3:6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." And what's the promise? "And he shall direct thy paths." If you can get up every morning and just the best you can humanly think about everything you've got to do during the day, he will direct your paths for that day. And that day will end up a day of order, a day of productivity, a day of peace, as you've seen God. I mean, I have had times in my life where I've tried to build something with a hammer and nails and it didn't go right. And as I look back, it's because I forgot to pray. And other times where I have had a task before me and I'm not the greatest handyman on earth. I've had to learn some things. But where I will pray over something, and by the time it's over, it will have been an experience that I had with God where he helped me do something and it worked. And I said, "Wow, I know I didn't figure that out on my own." That's the promise of God to all of you today. "In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path." And so the best thing to do then is to begin every day early in the morning acknowledging him about what you have to do that day. The order of every day ought to start with prayer. I know some of you got crazy work schedules and so on, and you worked all night or something, and you're dead in the morning. I understand that. But maybe in your case, as soon as you get up, go to prayer. Now, I want to make about four statements about prayer here today and how it will bring order to every day of your life. Things will work out in your life better if you will pray about every day of your life. It's God's promise. And then days will become weeks, weeks will become months, months will become years, and it'll be amazing how you'll see God directing you, and you'll make very few mistakes, very few wrong choices. You'll have very few consequences you'll have to live with because you've learned to pray. So number one, pray once a day early. Pray once a day early. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. Look up. It's trust. I'm looking to you as a little boy or girl looks up to his father and mother for whatever it is they want. They look up to dad. I will look up in the morning. That's what David said. You know, the Bible is filled with examples of people who did this. Let me give you some of them. Jacob. It says in Genesis 28, verse 16 and 17, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He saw a ladder, and the angels ascending and descending in heaven. It was a glorious revelation that changed his life. But listen to this, verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. Notice Jacob rose up early in the morning and he sanctified that morning to the Lord. It says about Moses in Exodus chapter number 24 and verse 4, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice Moses rose up early in the morning and he, like Jacob, built an altar. We need to have our own personal devotions and our own altar time early in the morning. Jacob and Moses did that. Samuel, his parents, had this testimony. 1 Samuel 1:19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. This was after God revealed to them that they would have a son. And that son's name would be Samuel. He turned out all right, didn't he? I think it's because he had parents that rose up early in the morning. Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 29:20 says, then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. That's what he did. He got up early. He got all the elders of the city, and he said, we need to go up to the house of God. And by the way, Hezekiah was one of the good kings, one of the greatest kings in Judah's history. Job. Job 1 and verse 5, it has this amazing verse that every parent, every mom and dad should be familiar with. It says, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Day after day after day, Job got up early in the morning. And he offered sacrifices. We don't do that nowadays. I understand that we're not in that dispensation of slaying animals. But Job did that day after day after day. Can you imagine the preparation that had to take? He had to get animals. He had to get them ready. The night before, he had to make sure they were without spot, without blemish. And then he had to get up in the morning. And he had to put those animals under the altar and sacrifice those and bring them to the sacrifice. And it says, thus did Job continually, because he had a concern for his 10 children. He says, it just may be that one of my children has cursed God in his heart. And I want my children to be right with God. And so Job, an example to all of us fathers, got up early, day after day after day, and prayed for his children. David, Psalm 57:8, awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will wake early. And probably the greatest example you can find is in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. This is the example of our Lord. A great while before day, Jesus thought it was important to go out and depart into a solitary place. Now, I believe whenever he was in Jerusalem, he would take that walk out of Jerusalem, go down to Brook Kidron, and up the side of the hill called the Mount of Olives, and he'd find a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was so used to praying there that when Judas went to betray him, he knew where he'd find him. He knew where he'd find him praying. When did Judas find him praying? What time of the day? At night. Brings me to my second point. Number two is pray twice a day. Pray twice a day. Get in the habit, first of all, of praying once a day. And make that early in the morning. And then, as you mature in your walk with the Lord, pray twice a day. In the morning and in the evening. By the way, did you notice these examples I gave you under point number one? Think of them again. Jacob, Moses, Samuel's parents, Hezekiah, and the elders, Job, David, and Jesus. Pretty good company. Pretty good people. These were victors. These were people whose lives counted. These were people that God walked with and God helped them. We need to pray and we need to get up early in the morning and all our ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct our paths. In the morning. One of my favorite poems is by Ralph Cushman. He said, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with His presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must meet God in the morning if you want Him through the day. In the morning, my voice shalt thou hear. In the morning. God is a God who rewards people. Did you know that? God is a rewarding God. And one of the reasons why we ought to pray is because of the promises that go with it. Our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, when thou prayest, Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners and the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, says, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. See, it is the nature of God to reward people that do right. And God will open up a life of reward to you if you will, every day in the morning early, go in some secret place, shut the door, kneel down, pray to God in secret. He will reward you openly. So pray once a day as early as you possibly can. And then number two, pray twice a day. Pray twice a day. We talked about Jesus when Judas went to arrest him, betray him, to be arrested. He knew where he would find him. And that night, he found Jesus right where Jesus was renowned to be, in that Garden of Gethsemane. And they found him praying there. He got caught praying. Isn't that a great thing? Did you ever get caught praying? We ought to all get caught praying. What's he doing? He's praying. He's what? He's praying. She's praying. It should be a reputation we have. It should be our character that we pray and pray and pray. But number two, pray twice a day. Pray twice a day. It says over in Luke chapter 2, it says in verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer, night and day. Now, this is talking about a little known lady named Anna. And what a great testimony she has. She was a virgin. It says she got married, and after just being married for 7 years, her husband died. And she never remarried. But it says she went to the temple and she often spent days in fasting. Maybe she knew somebody with a special need that lived in her area, or somebody with a broken heart. And it says she would go to the temple, and it was her custom to serve God night and day in the temple. Those that knew Anna back then knew where they could find her. In the morning she was in the temple praying, and in the evening she was in the temple praying. And she was probably somebody that was so renowned for prayer, they take their prayer requests to her. It's been said of Tom Williams, the evangelist, that he has to pray 3 to 4 hours a day just to get through the prayer requests that people give him, because people know he will pray when they ask him to. So all over the nation, people have asked him to pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. He puts it down and says, I will pray for you. It takes him 3 to 4 hours a day sometimes just to get through the prayer requests others have given him. Anna. You know, Cornelius wasn't even saved yet, and he had this testimony. So in Acts chapter 10 and verse 2 about Cornelius, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. And it says he prayed to God always, and it says that his prayers went up as a memorial before God before he was ever saved. His prayers went up as a memorial before God. And over in Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 3 and 4, it says this, and he evidently, in the ninth hour of the day, the angel came and said unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid. And it says, where am I? What is it, Lord? And he said, thy prayers and thine alms are come up as a memorial before God. And thine alms were seen in remembrance in the sight of God. And the text says here that Cornelius prayed night and day before he was ever saved. And God had a respect to that. It says about the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your faith and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He said, night and day exceedingly praying for the church at Thessalonica. And what about the desolate widow? This instruction is given in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 5. It says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Sometimes people say, well, you can't pray all day. You know, you got to do other things. Well, why can't you? Maybe it's because we don't believe in it. Maybe it's because we have too much self-confidence. Or maybe we think prayer is a personal thing. It's a lot more than that. You know, those of you that are healthy and your finances are good and your families are good and everything, sometimes we can be deceived into thinking, what do I need to pray for? I got a good job, healthy, all my children. What about the person next to you? The person down the road from you? What about the missionaries we support? What about the ministries we have? What about the needs of the church? What about the lost? You know, maybe everything is just peachy keen for you. But you don't have to look very far to find some that desperately needs your prayers. And they're not going to make it. Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter was going to go through a horrible trial in his life. Jesus knew that. Jesus saw it coming and said, Peter, I prayed for you. I prayed for you specifically as an individual that when that trial comes, your faith doesn't fail. And someday you're going to get converted from being a selfish, self-centered man to dying to self and living for others. And when that conversion takes place, I pray that you'll spend the rest of your life strengthening the brethren. Jesus prayed for other people. Someone said, I don't know what to pray about. Well, we got a phone book about this thick delivered to our homes a couple months ago. Start with that. When you get through that, come see me. I'll give you something else to pray about. All kinds of people in there need to be saved. We need to pray twice a day. Number one, pray once a day. Number two, pray twice a day. What do you think my third point is? Number three, pray three times a day. Turn over to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. I should let you do the preaching. You know what's going on here. Psalm 55. Remember the Lester Roloff song about this? Maybe I should sing it. Boy, he was a man of prayer, wasn't he? Hey, he was a man of prayer. Boy, did he move mountains. Boy, did he move mountains in his life for prayer. He was a man of prayer. He wrote a song about this verse once. I'll spare you. Singing the psalm. It says, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Pray three times a day. As you're developing your walk in prayer, begin by praying. If you've never started, pray early in the morning. Pray when you get up. If all you can do is 5 minutes, then start with 5 minutes, and then go on to 10 minutes, and 15 minutes, and pretty soon you'll start developing lists of who to pray for, and missionaries, and ministries, and churches in the area, and unsaved people, and broken-hearted people, and so on. And pretty soon you won't be able to get through those lists. They'll take so long. You got to do like I do, take them in the car. And there's a lot of times I don't come close to praying over who I'd like to, so I take my lists in the car, and as I'm driving, I'll look at the list who's on there, and I'll be praying for that person or that ministry or that church or that missionary, whatever it might be, that government official. But begin praying once a day, and then go to praying twice a day, night and day, as we saw the example of Cornelius and Paul and Anna and the widow. Pray twice a day. Get to where you're praying in the evenings. And then third of all, pray three times a day, evening and morning and at noon. Will I pray and cry aloud? Now, this is great right here, isn't it? And he shall hear my voice. There's another verse that says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. It is the nature of God to hear prayer as much as it is the nature of any good father or any good mother to hear the cry of a baby. To hear the request of a little boy or a little girl who's their child. It's God's nature. And the more you pray, the more you'll be heard. God will do great things for you. Now, I only know of one man who specifically followed this example in the Bible. Anyone know who that was? Daniel. Turn over to Daniel chapter number 6. Now, Daniel did all right, didn't he? Does anyone know anything bad that is ever said about Daniel? I'd like to hear it. Why did he have such a great testimony? Listen, the book of Daniel, it's just 12 short chapters and you can read it in one night, but it talks about his life as a teenager. But then when you get up to Daniel chapter number 6, he's 85 years old approximately. Why do we have such a man that God's hand of blessing is all over him, blessing him? Everything he does is blessed. Elevating him, a Jewish boy in Babylon, a eunuch. A poor boy who has suffered an atrocity to his physical body, but he didn't go around complaining and whining, oh, woe is me, I was abused when I was a kid. I'll tell you what made the difference in his life. He learned how to pray. And in Babylon, as a eunuch, as a single man who never got married, never had kids, never saw his homeland that he loved, Jerusalem and Israel again. Never, ever. Had a very hard life. You can't find one word in the Bible wrong about this guy. You know, it's kind of hard to do anything wrong when you're praying three times a day. You haven't got time for sin, do you? You haven't got time for wrong choices and horrible consequences that go along with them. Daniel 6 and verse 10 is an amazing verse because all the things he's been through, if there's ever been a guy that maybe could have said, Lord, it's enough what I've been through. Can't you see that? Could have been Daniel maybe who could have had a complaint. So a law is passed. Nobody can pray to any god for 30 days except to the king. Nobody can make any requests. And now Daniel, in his mid-80s, has to make a choice. Am I going to give up my prayer life, or am I going to go into a lion's den and be, I'm sure humanly he thought, eaten alive? Daniel would rather give his life to death than to miss one appointment with prayer. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He got caught. He got thrown in the lion's den. But in his case, God shut the mouths of the lions. But he didn't know that. He didn't know the end of the story while he was in it. I think Daniel had such an impeccable testimony because this man somehow had developed the habit of praying to God three times a day, stopping his day, his life, three times. Maybe like David sang, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. And he just got right with God. I don't know about you, but I can come out of my prayer closet in the morning and by noon the devil's all over me. By noon the flesh is troubling me. By noon the world's trying to pull me so far away from God, I don't want to think about anything spiritual. Now maybe your world's different than mine. Maybe it's easier for you. But I find myself stopping often during the day and saying, dear God, help me. Please help me, Lord. I got to go see this person right now. I don't know what to say, Lord. I got to preach a message Sunday. I don't know what to say. What do they need? Help me. Pray once a day. Pray twice a day. Pray three times a day. What do you think my fourth point is? Pray always. Pray always. Pray always. Luke 18:1, Jesus spoke a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2, continuing instant in prayer, or continue in prayer, rather, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Romans 12:12, continuing instant in prayer. Well, what does instant prayer mean? Man, God, the Holy Spirit's going to bring people into your mind right in the middle of the day while you're working, while you're driving, right out of sleep. Did you ever have that happen? 2 a.m, bang, you're awake, and what's your first prayer? Lord, I need my sleep. But then God puts somebody in your mind and somebody in your heart that's really going through it to pray for them. You're telling me about missionaries in Kenya, Africa, just American missionaries, the violence has gotten so bad in their house that they're in their land, that some of them are in their house right now, and their supplies are running down to where they almost have nothing left to eat or drink, and they don't know how they're going to get out. You think the Holy Ghost might remind you that once in a while? You need to be instant in prayer. Somebody says, will you pray for me? Why not just say, let's do it right now before I forget. Just pray for me. Pray always. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your steps, direct your paths. So if we'll pray, he'll direct our paths, and he'll bring order. See, the order of every day starts in prayer early. Now, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, James 4:17 says, to him it is what? There are sins of omission. Now we're taking the Lord's Supper tonight. Before we get there tonight, let's confess our sins. See, a lot of times we just think about what I did that was wrong. Boy, I shouldn't have thought that. Lord, forgive me. Or I shouldn't have said that to so-and-so. Forgive me. Those are sins of commission. But there's also sins of omission that I commit, you commit, where there's things we're supposed to be doing we don't do. And prayer is a commandment. So let's get with it. Get started. Now, here's some help. Here's a cute little booklet. Over here, and this is good. I've read this thing. This is a good little booklet. It's called Lord, Teach Us to Pray. That's a good little booklet. If you want to learn some things about prayer, pick up one of these over here. And then something I wrote to get you started in prayer, Prayer 101. There's some over on the table there too. Start learning about prayer. Let God hear your voice early in the morning, and he'll direct your steps all day long. And at the end of the day, you will notice that you're going to start having days in your life that are going to be going better than the days that you have had. More order. And things will start going well with you as God leads. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Now bless us as we respond to it. We pray the Holy Ghost would lead us. Thank you, Lord, for examples of those that prayed once a day, those that prayed twice a day, Daniel who prayed three times a day, and David who said he prayed three times a day. Lord, thank you for Jesus who rose up early in the morning and went into a solitary place and there prayed. Oh God, help us to be praying men and praying women. Lord, those in the most danger today here are those where everything's going great. Because they think they don't need to pray. But ever so, Lord, teach us to pray in the good times so we'll know how to pray in the bad times, please. Lord, some are losing their children. The world is very, very slowly pulling them away from the church, from you, Lord, from your word. Give us the spirit of Job, who prayed continually for his kids. May this altar just be full of people praying this morning that thy house would always be a house of prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.